See you later, little children. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I know what happened to chapter 4. We'll get there tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Reading verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than not that thou vowest." Verse 5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Dear Lord, once more we ask that you'd help us to understand the scripture, help me to preach it and change us by it this morning. We leave everything completely 100% totally in your hands and ask that you would guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My mom, first time I ever heard verse 3, it was not in its entirety, but I was a kid, and the first time I'd ever heard someone somewhat quote verse 3 was when my mom told my oldest brother, and he was a talker. Benny was, we were talking about him after church the other night. We were standing here and I was remembering him. And we were talking to some people in the church and I was just telling them about, you know, my oldest brother and everything. And he was a card. He was, when Benny walked in the room, you just knew Benny was there. And he made sure everybody knew he was there. I mean, he was just a, you know, center stage cut up and loud and rambunctious, and sometimes you had to just tell him, "Benny, just shut up, Benny." You know, after it was just it got old quick, what I was going to say was Benny's gone now, so be nice to have him come in and be a cut up again, but anyhow, we were in the living room one time and he was sitting on the floor. He just always had something dumb to say, you know, it was just crazy stuff. And he was going on and going on. My mom said, "You know, Benny, the Bible says that a fool is known by a multitude of words. And it is the only time that anybody was ever able to completely shut him up. He always had a response. He had no response to that." She said, "A fool is known by a multitude of words," and he had nothing to say. So that verse will always remind me of my brother. There is a deeper meaning to that verse, as we will get to here this morning, but I just thought I would share that. Maybe that was just for me, but anyhow. We look at chapter 5 here and you wonder, now why did we skip over chapter 4 and go to chapter 5? Well, the makeup of our church is such that I know that sometimes we have some that aren't able to be back with us in the evening because of work, and then we have some that aren't able to be back with us because they don't drive after it gets dark. And I'm just 37, and I'm already starting to understand that, why you wouldn't want to drive after dark. Every year it gets a little bit harder to see things, and I understand that. But I was thinking, you know, because of that, because some are not able to come back because of either, you know, the light or the weather or work or whatever, this chapter here, chapter 5, deals specifically with our attitude whenever we come into the house, whenever we come into God's house. And I thought, well, why don't we address that on a Sunday morning when the whole family's here? Because some are not able to be with us in the evening. Why don't we address that on Sunday morning? And so we'll go through this passage here and then we'll go to 4 this evening. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, if you'd have preached 4, you'd have been all day on it and we'd have been here next Sunday morning anyhow. But 4 is very short. 4 is 16 verses. It's very short. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5 this morning. In this passage here, 1 through 7, there are a few things for us to look at. And the first thing that I want to point out is this. Keeping in mind the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes and what's talked about, keeping in mind that Solomon is pointing out how it is empty and it's a waste of our time to try to live life without God and try to find fulfillment and satisfaction without God. And he's pointed out that if you pour yourself into work and your life is all about work, well, that's vanity. And if you pour yourself into pleasure and life's all about fun and pleasure, that's vanity. You're going to come up empty. Now he turns to the church house. And we realize that this is at a time when the church didn't exist. It was the nation of Israel, and they had the tabernacle and the temple and all that. At this point, they would have had the Solomon built the temple. And so, but that, we just remember that the temple and the tabernacle, that was where God's people went to serve him and to worship him. And now the church, us, not this building, but us, physically, the church, we are now, God, the Spirit of God would come to the tabernacle and dwell among them. Now he dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. We are the church. It's not this building. It's us, the people. We are the church. But the correlation can be made that the Old Testament temple is where God's people would gather for worshiping God and serving God. And so when we gather in this building, God's people, the church, is coming together, okay? So there are truths here that we need to learn and we need to apply and we need to understand. But Solomon here turns his gaze in that direction. And what he's pointing out is this. He's pointing out that there are those who think that coming into the building, coming into the church service, however you want to say it, that they will somehow find a fulfillment and a satisfaction in observing religious practices. And so there are people today all over the world that will go into a building like this one. It might be bigger, it might be smaller, whatever the case may be, they will go into a building and they will assume that being in that building, listening to a sermon, praying some prayers, that has squared them with God. That has made them right with God. Okay? There are people who find great comfort and satisfaction in performing religious practices. There are people who base eternity on those religious practices. We went out yesterday and knocking on doors and you meet all kinds of people. And it was either yesterday or the last time that we went out, Brother Randy met a guy who told him that he didn't want to take the track because he was very active or devoted or something to, and he named his church. I met a lady yesterday. I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and she was kind of halfway pleasant, and she wasn't rude or anything. But she wouldn't take the track, and she informed me that she went to St. Whoever's of the whatever Catholic Church, and that I believe we have the one true church, and I believe that that's where something about the Holy Spirit and everything. And so I see no need to take your track. Met another guy. Well, these people here, you'll meet people like that. They are convinced that because they belong to a certain organization and they do religious practices, that that's what saves you. And all of those practices are empty and worthless. I'm telling you that anything you do, going to a good Bible-believing church, and I believe we have one here, but going to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, fundamental church isn't going to save any of us. And showing up the second and fourth Saturday to go out and knock on doors and setting up the Lord's Supper and passing out the bulletins when people walk in and cleaning the church and whatever it is that you do here. If you walk in lost and do all that service, you'll walk out lost. If you haven't repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But people rely so heavily on religious practices. But Solomon here is pointing to the fact that there are people who go into the church and try to, you know, their life is all about doing. Not a genuine service of God from the heart of a saved person, but just observing, just doing, 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 doing. I'm so involved. I do so much at the church. Surely God wouldn't send me to hell. But there are people who try to find that satisfaction. There are some who believe in keeping those things, keeping those observances will save their souls. There are some who believe that after they're saved, they have to keep those things up to keep their souls. The fact of the matter is, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can't save yourself, you can't keep yourself. Do all the work you want. You're just a busy lost person if that's what you're doing. And the sad reality is every day people wake up in hell who spent their lives in a church pew and never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and thought just walking through that door made them a better person. And hey, outwardly it may have made them a better person. Maybe they didn't do a lot of the things of the world. Maybe they were good, decent people, but still lost. It's God that keeps us. He saves us and He keeps us. But what we see here in this passage is the vanity of religion that excludes God. And that's what Solomon points out through the whole book. Is when you exclude God, then everything's empty. It's all empty. Work is good because God tells us to work, but when you leave God out of it and you live for work, it's empty. You're wasting your time. There are times of pleasure and entertainment, but if that's what we base our life on, it's all empty. It's all a waste. Our priorities have to be right. So now he comes to service of God. If you're serving God but excluding God, I'm just doing these things, but I don't have a heart for God, you're just wasting your time. The fact of the matter is this. Most of what is done in the name of Christianity today is not Christian at all. It's not biblical. The world is full of busy churches. The world is full of churches that are so busy they don't have enough people to keep everything going. And at the same time, people are not hearing the gospel. People are lost. I was told yesterday by someone that their church today, y'all know what Oktoberfest is? It's a German drunken celebration. It's a German celebration to celebrate booze, is what it is. That's all it is. Doesn't matter what else they do, it's a German celebration that's all about booze. Now, we know that, right? It's all about liquor. Find an Oktoberfest celebration where there's not booze flowing. It's a booze thing. Someone told me yesterday that today their church was celebrating Oktoberfest. Oh, but they're just going to eat bratwurst and drink root beer. Now you and I sit there and think, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Churches are full of people doing things in the name of Christianity and calling it Christianity. And it's as unbiblical as baptizing babies. Nothing biblical, nothing Christian about it all. And then you and I walk up and knock on somebody's door, and this is what we're competing with. We come to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is what you know. That church down there set up a beer garden. That one over there is celebrating Oktoberfest, and that one down there has this and that and that. This is what we're up against. So does it matter when we walk into the church why we're here and what we do while we are here? Absolutely, or God would not have given us so many instructions in His Word. So most of what's happening is not Christian at all. In this passage, there are some wonderful lessons to be learned in relation to our attitude about God and our service for Him. So the point that I'm making is this. The world might be full of churches, but not everything going on in them today is Christian. And in this passage, we can learn some very valuable lessons on how we should approach God's meeting, the service, the assembly of the saints, how we can approach that. And let's look at that this morning. First of all, as we look through this, we're going to see three stages. We're going to see before, during, and after. So the first thing that we see is a preparation. Do you know, worship of God should not begin when the song leader gets up and starts the first song. We get up on a Sunday or get ready to come in on a Wednesday or whenever it is, our hearts should be prepared before we even leave home, before we even come here. Our hearts, we should be in that preparation before we even get here. And the Bible says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. So this is, what is my mindset before I even get in? When I'm on my way in, keep thy foot. And then it says, and be more ready to hear. Be more ready. I'm prepared to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. So the question is this. Before you come to church, before you come to the assembly, before you walk into this, what we call corporate worship, we all worship God individually, and then we have corporate worship where we all get together as an assembly and worship Him. What is your preparation before? I'm going to tell you what most of our preparation is. Okay? Let's be honest. A lot of us, here's our preparation. The alarm goes off, we shut it off, an hour later we wake back up, not remembering that we shut the alarm off. We argue with our spouse for 15 minutes about whether or not the alarm went off and whether or not somebody actually shut it off. I'm telling you, that clock is broken. I know that clock is broken. Okay? We get up. Okay, you take your shower. I'll eat breakfast while you're in it. Can you iron my shirt? Can you do that? Oftentimes, this isn't describing everybody. Maybe you get up at 4 o'clock and spend 2 hours in the Bible and in prayer. Most of us get about as much sleep as we can possibly get before it's time to get up and go to church. And then sometimes we're kind of rushed, and then we're coming in and we're looking forward to church, but we're thinking about, she's thinking that, I know I plugged the crock pot in, but did I turn it on? And then you're hurrying and I knew I should have got gas last night. We're not going to make it. And a lot of times that's what the morning is. And maybe it's not that hectic, or maybe it's just you know, get up and go get dressed and have a bite to eat and then go. And then we come in and, hey, pastor, and maybe it's hectic and maybe it's just, maybe it's not. But the question is this, in the first verse of this chapter, it tells us to be ready when we walk in. Okay, to be ready when we walk in. You say, I didn't have a hectic morning. I had a nice, pleasant morning. Maybe even say, I spent some time in prayer and in the Word. That's what I do every day. Maybe you do that every morning over breakfast or whatever. But let me ask you this. When it's time to come to church, how often do we prepare ourselves specifically for the corporate worship of God? How many times do we specifically prepare ourselves? I am going today to meet with my brothers and sisters for the sole purpose of worshiping God and learning His Word and serving Him in the church today. How many times do we give thought to that? How many times do we come in and sit down and it takes the first couple of songs just to get the heart rate back down because things have been so... Okay? But the Bible says, keep thy foot. Okay, that means watch yourself. Watch yourself and keep an eye on what you're doing and what is your situation and what is your attitude. Keep thy foot. Instead of just walking in, however, keep thy foot. Now, at Faith Baptist Church, that's even more important because of this little bump we have back here. People fall on that bump all the time. We need to put this scripture up above that door there. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, just for that bump. We had somebody visit here. A guy that I know visited here, I think, last year. And I didn't get to see it. I was in my office, but he walked in and he fell flat on his face. Right there. And I've known him for a long time, and he was the kind of guy that I came out and I was like, man, I can't believe I missed that. I can't believe I missed you falling on your face, you know. But anyhow, do we keep our foot when we walk in? Are we paying close attention? Why am I here? What am I doing here? And are we ready? It says, be ready. It says, be more ready, specifically. And be more ready to hear. Okay, so there's a preparation. Keep your foot. Be ready. Be prepared. What? To hear. Than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. So I am to come in with reverence. Keep thy foot. Watch how we come in. Why? Because we're not walking into Walmart, are we? We're not walking into the marathon station, are we? We're walking into the building that God has provided for us to come together as a church and worship Him. So we keep our foot. Do we enter with reverence? Not reverence for the building, but reverence for God, which we should have in our everyday lives, and it should flow over into our assembly, into our gathering. Do I come in with reverence for Him? Are we more concerned with hearing than being heard? Is our purpose for coming, Lord, I want to hear from You. I want to learn Your Bible so that I can be changed and be made who You want me to be. There are a number of reasons why people go to church and every week. Some people go because they just think it's the right thing to do. Some people go because they've always gone. They grew up in that church. Some people go because they think just being there is going to do something for them. Some people go to impress people. These are some of the reasons that people have for going to church sometimes. But what's the Bible say our reason ought to be? Come in, we are to walk in ready to hear from God. Not come in ready to hear just the words the pastor is saying. If you're in here, you hear me. You can't unhear me. Now I realize some of you might have the cotton balls down so deep that I can't see them. But if you're in here, how are you not going to hear my voice? But this isn't the important thing. This isn't what you... It's what are these words? How is God using these words to speak to you and to change you? That's what we come in to hear. It ought never be, I'm going to church to hear Pastor Utley today. Did you hear what Pastor Utley said today? That ought never be the case. It ought be, I'm coming here to hear what God has to say to me. Did you hear what God said today? Did God speak to me through His Word and through the preaching? Pastor Utley is just an instrument, the speaker, the bullhorn. It's what God is saying that matters. The question isn't, come in here ready to hear my voice. You all hear my voice. The question is, are we listening and ready to hear the voice of God and let Him work on us and change us and make us who He wants us to be? So the fact is, our preparation before we even come together is important. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. What's the sacrifice of fools? Well, this is a person that comes into the house of God, not interested in hearing from God, but interested in being heard by other people, or being seen by other people, or doing some kind of service so people will notice. That's the sacrifice of fools. It doesn't matter. It's empty. God doesn't care about that. That person did not come in with reverence, wanting to hear from God, to be changed by God, to learn more about God. That person came in to put on a show, to be seen, to be recognized. That person came in to do some kind of stuff that would make them feel good for the week. That's the sacrifice of fools. And it's the sacrifice of fools. It's vanity because it is completely useless and empty and it means nothing. I'm going to give you an example. You've probably seen this. If you've been in church more than a few years, you've probably seen this. I have sat in churches and listened to specials being sung and instruments being played by highly skilled and trained musicians and singers. And I'm telling you, they can play that piano like they have 12 hands. I mean, they're just all over it. If they were here, they would play that one and the two in the basement at the same time. Music just pouring out of everywhere. Person get up and sing, and just every note is perfect, well-trained. And you're trying to hear what God's saying, and it's just... And then I have heard, and I've heard some of those same people serve from the heart. And then sometimes it's just a performance. And then I've heard people get up, sing, and just as timid and have a hard time getting the words out, and maybe a bad note here or there. And when they're done, you're crawling to the altar because the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so strong, not because of that person, but God was able to use a humble, willing servant who was serving for the right reasons. It wasn't vain and empty. So just because people do things doesn't mean they do them for the right reasons. Some of it's just empty and vain. And God says that is the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah chapter 1. What does this type of service look like? Oh, right past Isaiah. What does this type of service look like to God? Isaiah chapter 1. This empty keeping of ordinances and observances and just doing stuff to be doing stuff. Okay, I go. I'm this in the church. I'm that in the church. And I, when I'm there, I do this. And yeah, I show up for that and everything. But it's the sacrifice of fools because it's empty. I'm not going and to hear from God, and I'm not concerned with serving for the right reasons. I'm just doing to be doing, and I think that in my much doing, that's going to have some kind of effect on me. It's just empty. What you do is important, and why you do it is important. The Bible makes that clear. And look at Isaiah chapter 1 and find verse 11. And let's read 11 through 20. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? So God is saying to the children of Israel, what all this stuff that you do in my name, why are you doing it? What's the reason for it? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams. So God's saying, hey, I've had enough of it. And the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of rams or of he-goats. They're doing the things God told them to do, but they're doing it in vanity, thinking, well, we'll just do this and then everything will be fine with God, and they're not reverencing Him. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, the worship service, the church service had gotten to a place where it was just a bunch of fanfare and a bunch of emptiness and a bunch of nothingness. And God said, I'm sick of it. I've had enough of it. It had become iniquity. Pastor, church can't become a sin. Just like that, it can become a sin. They're doing the things God told them to do, but they were doing it just to be doing it. They had missed the whole point. They had missed the heart of God. Just as people today go to church just to be going to church. And people are just there to be there. Missing the purpose. We are to worship, we are to learn, we are to be changed, we are to be driven by God and His Word. Ask yourselves from time to time. I ask myself all the time, why do I do what I'm doing? I think it's a good thing to ask ourselves, to examine ourselves, to make sure that what we're doing is right and the reasons are right, so that we don't fall into what the children of Israel had fallen into, so that it doesn't become, well, we're just doing it. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I live this way? Why is obedience to God important? Because if we're not careful, we'll fall into this. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. There's another reason for getting in God's Word and coming to church and being under the preaching, so we can learn. Man by nature does not know how to do well. We learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You say, Pastor, maybe I look today and say, I have gotten off track. I have not been coming in with the right attitude. I am not serving God for the right reasons. You don't have to stay there. Just like He told the children of Israel, realize it, repent of it, do something about it, and start anew. Not be saved all over again. If you're saved, you're saved. But maybe in our service for Him, we have gotten into these ruts and we're serving for the wrong reasons. And maybe it's become a humdrum to us. And we're just doing ordinances, or we're just here to be here, or well, I do this to do this. And God told the children of Israel, get rid of that. Do right. And He would wash that iniquity away.
If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He's talking to the children of Israel here, but there are lessons in there for us to learn. And the lesson is this: God is not impressed with our endless junk, with our meaningless, mindless service. Is it better for you to be in the church house, be in a church meeting, than to be in a pub somewhere or to be on the lake with your fishing buddies? Hey, it's going to be better for you here. Yes, absolutely, that's better. But just being here is not what it's about. We have to approach the service of God with reverence, and we have to come in ready to hear, God, teach me and change me. How often, though, maybe you've never found yourself in this position, but I have. How often have we found ourselves Monday morning, what did he preach about yesterday? What did he... Now, I'm going to say this. Sometimes you can lay that at the foot of the pastor. If he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, it's easy to forget what he preached about if he didn't preach about anything. Hey, if you brought nothing, I took nothing away. But if he's doing what he's supposed to do, if he's bringing something, we ought be walking out with that. What is the truth here that God dealt with me on this week? What do I need to meditate upon? How does God want to change me? What in my life needs to be different? What do I need to work on here? What's God trying to do? It's a constant process with us. So what preparation do you make to prepare your heart for God's service? You know, you can be in prayer before you ever show up. Lord, I'm going to church today, going to gather with my brothers and sisters, going to hear your word preached. I pray you'd work on me today. Lord, would you use Pastor today? Would you use Brother Denny, Brother Dwayne, Sister Phyllis, Sister Juana, whoever? Will you use Sister Amy and Sister Rhonda as they work with the kids? And see, we can make these preparations and be ready when we get there. But I'm afraid, that too often Christians make more preparations to go on vacation, go on a fishing trip, go on a camping trip, go to a family get-together than we do to go into the house of God. It's kind of like, it's Sunday again. The fact is, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1 makes it clear that it is vitally important what our mindset is when we walk through those doors. That we come in ready to hear what God is going to talk to us about today. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Okay, while we're here, we have prepared beforehand. Now, while we're here, God cares about our conduct. While we're in the service. Sometimes our haste harms us. Sometimes we don't take time to let what God is saying to us process and sink in and change us. Sometimes we're quick to do the things that we shouldn't, but we're slow to do the things that we should. I'll give you an example. But I think it was still winter time. I bought this little metal shed. Yeah, I know, the infamous shed. You all know about the shed. Bought this little metal shed. Menards, it comes in this box. It weighs about 70 tons. You can't hardly move the thing. I mean, it's...
because the basement was full of stuff we had packed away, and we thought we'd put this stuff out in that shed, then we'll have more room in the basement. Boys, whenever spring gets here, the ground gets dry, we'll get out there and put that shed up. I think Alex finished the shed last week. We all worked on it together, and then they put the doors up, and then Alex went out and put the floor kit in and everything. So it's not too bad timing-wise. Still nice weather out. But you know what? You know what? There was never a time when somebody said, let's go fishing tonight. No, I had time to fish. I had time to go do all that. I had time to do the fun stuff, right? We're so quick. But the things we need to do, we drag our feet. Look, when we're in the service, when God's dealing with us in here, and He deals with us on things that we need to address, we need to be diligent about those things. And sometimes it talks about vowing a vow. Sometimes we're hasty. Sometimes we're hasty in our response before we take time to let God really work on us. And then sometimes God will work on us in the service. Well, let me back up. I don't want to get ahead of myself. While we're in the service, the church should not be filled with idle and vain talking, but we ought to reverence God. So we're ready when we come in. All right, now that I'm here, let the learning begin. God, work on me. Let me be still and listen as God works on me. Let me, and when I say be still and listen, we don't have a noisy church. We don't have people talking everywhere. My kid gets loud back there in the thing. And sometimes cell phones go off, but that's a whole nother joke. We don't have people. Boy, I've been in them, though. I've been in them. You want to turn around and say, would you go outside? I'm trying to listen here. I mean, people just talk. I was in a church service one time, cell phone rang, guy answered it and just starts talking. It's an older fella, and he's sitting back up at the, and you can hear him through the whole church. He's, yeah, no, we're in prayer meeting right now. Well, I don't know. Pastor looks at an assistant pastor. The assistant pastor has to go usher the old man out into the foyer. I mean, he just starts talking on his phone. No, we don't have that problem here. You just text. Look, here's what the point is. During the service, we ought not be rash. We ought... we came in prepared. Now that we're here, let's listen. Let's let God work. Let's let it sink in. And then whenever we make decisions, let's make sure that we follow through biblically. If you went to the doctor and he was telling you what was wrong and exactly what you needed to do, you would listen. You'd take notes. You'd take somebody with you so you didn't miss anything. You'd figure out what you needed to do. How often do we come into church and God deals with us and then we leave it in the pew? When the doctor's trying to help your physical body, which is one day going to end up in the grave, and God's trying to deal with your eternal soul, which is far more important. So coming in the right way is good, but then while we're here, we need to stay in that reverent frame of mind. Now what about after? Verses 5 through 7, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Sometimes God works on somebody through the preaching and they're under conviction, and they know where God's putting His finger, and they know where God's dealing with them, and buddy, we're going to... And they pray, and some churches have altars where people come down and pray, or they get down in the pew and they pray, and Monday morning, maybe it's still kind of, that conviction's still kind of there, and I'm going to
I'm going to obey God, and then about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it kind of starts to wane, and then a month later, right back in that pit, because we decided God dealt with me. He showed me what I needed to do. I'm going to do it, and then I don't do it. I mean, really, church, big deal if God convicts you and deals with you on something. Big deal if God works on us. Big deal if we pray and say, God, thank you, help me to get it right. What does all that matter if we don't obey the principle that He told us to obey? It's just empty. He works on us. He convicts us. He shows us. He says, here's how you do it. Here's what my word says about it. Here's how my word says to change it. Yes, Lord, thank you. That's what I need to do. And all that is great, but if we don't do it, if we vow this vow, Lord, I'm going to do it. Now I'm going to change, and I'm going to, and it's not in our strength, it's in His, but He does require certain forms of obedience from us. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God does the work, but He requires us to do some things. And we say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient now. We're going to get this thing dealt with. And all is well and good when the music's going and the prayers are being prayed. Look, that's another reason why we don't have a five-piece band up here. I've been in too many services where people make emotional decisions based on the atmosphere. We don't create an atmosphere here. The atmosphere is we preach the word and let God deal with people. We don't plead with people. We're going to sing one more. Come to the altar. Let's do that one seven more times. Let's come to the altar. We're not going to plead with. We're not going to get emotional responses. But when God is dealing with a heart and the heart says, yes, that's what I need to do. God is dealing with me. I know that's what God says. I know that's what I need to obey. God, I'm help me. I'm going to do that. And then day two, what was that I said yesterday? What did God? He'll probably tell me again next Sunday. And the Bible says, right here in this passage we just read, you'd be better off not to even vow that vow to God that you're going to change or you're going to do something about it or whatever, make this promise. You'd be better off just to leave it alone than to say it and then not carry through with it. And maybe it's a vow of, Lord, I'm going to do this. Or it's a vow of, Lord, you've convicted me and I need to change this and I need to work here. But the Bible makes it clear you're better off just to leave it where it lay than to take it up only to put it back down. So we come in with the right kind of preparation. And then while we're here, we stay in that reverent state of mind and we learn from God. And then when God deals with us, we let Him deal with us. But we take it with us when we walk out of here. And we be diligent about it in our obedience. And then, be careful the vows that you make because they might come back to haunt you. Verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Sometimes you make a promise that you can't keep. Okay? This political season, what happened? Come on, what happened? The Republican candidates all said, yeah, I'll support whoever gets it. And the one guy they were sure wouldn't get it got it. And then they were like, you gonna hold to the vow? And they're like, found themselves in a spot, didn't they? Well, I don't know. That's what this is talking about. Only this is talking about more important things. And it's talking about our soul. Be careful what you promise to do. Because you don't know what the circumstances are going to be a month from now. Yeah, I said I would, but I didn't know things. That's right, you didn't know. So, let God work. We read in Isaiah, come let us reason together. Let God do the work. Let God work on you. Think things through. Make sure that we're making biblical decisions. Because if we're rash and we say, oh, that's what I'm going to do. A month later, we might find out, there's no way I could do that. Make biblical decisions in the things that we are doing, in all the things that we do, but make sure that we're not rash with our mouths. So, and I will probably come back later and
So I want to talk about this dream deal at some point. We'll probably come back to that. But this morning, we'll leave it right here. God is very much concerned with how we walk in. Are we prepared? Are we coming in here to hear and to learn and to worship and be, or is it just a thing that we do? He is very concerned with how we receive the preaching and His Word and everything. And this applies whenever we're at home. When I come to my Bible, it shouldn't be, okay, time to read a chapter. It ought to be, Lord, speak to me here. I need to be changed. I want You to work on me. We need to make the proper preparation. We need to have the proper diligence while God is speaking to us, and we need to make the proper response afterwards. If God deals with us on something, we pray, and Lord, I need to change this. I need to work on this. Don't leave that in the pew. Thursday comes along, it ought to be, how am I doing? How am I doing? How's God working on me now? Where am I at? Am I being diligent about my obedience? It matters. And why does it matter? Because if you're saved, God has called you to such a high calling, and that is to be a witness for Him and a representation of Him and to take the gospel out to others, and we cannot be weak soldiers. And soldiers prepare for battle. They follow commands in battle. And they don't stop being soldiers as soon as the battle's over. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning I want to thank You for Your Word and what You have taught us here. And I pray that You would help us to take it with us. Help us to be strengthened by it, to be changed by it. And help us all to examine ourselves. And let the Holy Spirit convict us if there are areas that we've learned this morning where we're lacking, if we're not making the proper preparation, if we don't approach Your worship the way that we should, if we're not learning and listening, if it's just kind of a habit with us, and if we're making these vows of things we're going to change and then we just forget all about them. Lord, these are things that You have pointed out in Your Word that displease You, and I pray that You would help us, show us if we're doing any of these things, and then show us how to get them right and help us to be obedient and make the changes that we need to make. And I just pray that You would work on us right now as we sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.